Read the questions.
Example.
Facebook's fundamental design is one that is, the business model is to addict you and then offer a channel to you to third parties to take advantage of that some way without you realizing it's happening. I mean, that's what it does. So I don't think any amount of tweaking can fully heal it. I think it needs a different business plan. I mean, it's very hard to throw a barrage of rules at somebody who's following certain incentives and then expect them to really make a difference.
Extract number one.
The people who run the tech companies like Google and Facebook are not doing the manipulating. They're doing the addicting. But the manipulating, which rides on the back of the addicting, is the paying customer of such a company. So, many of those customers are not at all bad influences. They might simply be trying to promote their cars or their perfumes or whatever. And indeed, I have sympathy for them because they're concerned that if they don't put money into the system, nobody will know about them.
Extract number two.
The founders of the great Silicon Valley spying empires like Facebook have publicly declared that they intentionally included addictive schemes in their designs. Now, we have to say, this is what I would call almost a selfie addiction. It's a statistical addiction. What it says is, we will get the broad population to use the services a lot. We'll get them hooked through a scheme of rewards and punishment. And the rewards are when you're retweeted. The punishment is when you're treated badly by others online. And then within that, we'll very gradually start to leverage that to change them. So it's this very kind of stealthy manipulation of the population. So it's not as dramatic as a heroin addict or a gambling addict, but it is the same principle.
Extract number three.
When you watch the television isn't watching you. When you see the billboard isn't seeing you. And vast numbers of people see the same thing on television and see the same billboard. When you use these new designs, social media, search, YouTube, when you see these things, you're being observed constantly, and algorithms are taking that information and changing what you see next. And they're searching and searching and searching, and they're just blind robots. There's no evil genius here until they find those patterns, those little tricks that get you and make you change your behavior.
Extract number four.
So right now, we've created this bizarre society that's unprecedented, where if any two people wish to communicate over the internet, the only way that can happen, the only way it's financed, is through a third party who believes that those two can be manipulated in a sneaky way. So we can keep all the good stuff, and there is good stuff on social media. We can keep all that and just throw away the manipulation business model and substitute in a different business model. And there are many alternatives that would be better. They just have to be honest. It could be a paid service, like a Netflix, where you're paying for it. You're the genuine customer. It has to keep your interest. It could be like a public library. It could become a public thing that isn't commercial at all. That's an option.
Extract number 5.
In traditional behaviorism, you would give an animal or a person a little treat like candy or maybe an electric shock, and you'd go back and forth between positive and negative feedback. And when researchers try to determine whether positivity or negativity is more powerful, they're roughly at parity. They're both important. But the difference with social media is that the algorithms that are following you respond very quickly. They're looking for the quick responses. And the negative responses, like getting startled or scared or irritated or angry, tend to rise faster than the positive responses, like building trust. So the algorithms naturally catch the negativity and amplify it.
Now, listen again.
Example.
Facebook's fundamental design is one that is, the business model is to addict you and then offer a channel to you to third parties to take advantage of that some way without you realizing it's happening. I mean, that's what it does. So I don't think any amount of tweaking can fully heal it. I think it needs a different business plan. I mean, it's very hard to throw a barrage of rules at somebody who's following certain incentives and then expect them to really make a difference.
Extract number 1.
The people who run the tech companies like Google and Facebook are not doing the manipulating. They're doing the addicting. But the manipulating, which rides on the back of the addicting, is the paying customer of such a company. So, many of those customers are not at all bad influences. They might simply be trying to promote their cars or their perfumes or whatever. And indeed, I have sympathy for them because they're concerned that if they don't put money into the system, nobody will know about them.
Extract number 2.
The founders of the great Silicon Valley spying empires like Facebook have publicly declared that they intentionally included addictive schemes in their designs. Now, we have to say, this is what I would call almost a selfie addiction. It's a statistical addiction. What it says is, we will get the broad population to use the services a lot. We'll get them hooked through a scheme of rewards and punishment. And the rewards are when you're retweeted. The punishment is when you're treated badly by others online. And then within that, we'll very gradually start to leverage that to change them. So it's this very kind of stealthy manipulation of the population. So it's not as dramatic as a heroin addict or a gambling addict, but it is the same principle.
Extract number 3.
When you watch the television isn't watching you. When you see the billboard isn't seeing you. And vast numbers of people see the same thing on television and see the same billboard. When you use these new designs, social media, search, YouTube, when you see these things, you're being observed constantly, and algorithms are taking that information and changing what you see next. And they're searching and searching and searching, and they're just blind robots. There's no evil genius here until they find those patterns, those little tricks that get you and make you change your behavior.
Extract number 4.
So right now, we've created this bizarre society that's unprecedented, where if any two people wish to communicate over the internet, The only way that can happen, the only way it's financed, is through a third party who believes that those two can be manipulated in a sneaky way. So we can keep all the good stuff, and there is good stuff on social media. We can keep all that and just throw away the manipulation business model and substitute in a different business model. And there are many alternatives that would be better. They just have to be honest. It could be a paid service, like a Netflix, where you're paying for it. You're the genuine customer. It has to keep your interest. It could be like a public library. It could become a public thing that isn't commercial at all. That's an option.
Extract number 5.
In traditional behaviorism, you would give an animal or a person a little treat like candy or maybe an electric shock, and you go back and forth between positive and negative feedback. And when researchers try to determine whether positivity or negativity is more powerful, they're roughly at parity. They're both important. But the difference with social media is that the algorithms that are following you respond very quickly. They're looking for the quick responses. And the negative responses, like getting startled or scared or irritated or angry, tend to rise faster than the positive responses, like building trust. So the algorithms naturally catch the negativity and amplify it.
That is the end of part 2.